Anybody know what movie that's from? Christmas Story, right? Oh my goodness. So so Ralphie there gets his amazing gift. He's been waiting like all year. He's been hoping and waiting for that. And it's that Red Ryder, what is it? BB gun, right? The whole thing. You're going to shoot your eye out, kid, right? And so his dad gets him this gun, a BB gun, and if you've ever seen the movie, then you'd find out that, you know, his dad knows he's not been, like, perfect all year. And yet he still gets him this gift that he knows is going to bring his son so much joy when he opens it up and sees it, because he's been longing and waiting for it, and he didn't have any money. He couldn't buy the thing, so he had to just hope and wait and trust. And, of course, on Christmas morning, he gets the gift, and he's excited for it. So much joy. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and that giving brought God so much joy, for he knew what it would accomplish, right? The angel said there to the shepherds, it said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy. Right? And then tells them why. For on this day, unto you a Savior has been born. You can hear that New King James kind of coming out, can't you? Some of you are familiar with New King James Version. I know. Christmas is a season with joy. It doesn't always have joy all the time. It doesn't, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But today, we heard Catherine Riley share with us the Gospel of Luke with part of the Christmas story. Which, not the movie, The Christmas Story, but, of course, the story of Christ, the real one. There we go. And what we heard, and what I want to finish reading to you, and if you have your Bible in Luke chapter 1, I want to pick up where they left off this morning. And I want to finish reading this little passage, if I may. It's in Luke chapter 1. So they read from verse 46 to 49, and I'd like to pick up at verse 50, and I want to read through 55. And if you want to just follow along and listen to me, you're welcome to do that too, or read on with your read on your Bible, that's fine as well. So here it is, verse 50, we're picking back up. Mary is saying this, it's called song, or a psalm, if you will. And here's what she writes. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Mary is excited. She is so overjoyed. And she says, rejoice in. And when she uses that word rejoice, the idea and glory, right? I will glory to the Lord, glorify the Lord, and my spirit rejoices. And that action we might think is just smile on her face and so happy, but actually that is the type of joy when you interpret that from the Greek language, which is, it's the moving, exuberant, I can't sit still, I gotta move, because I'm so excited. It kind of reminds me of Carrie when she's leading worship on Sunday morning. She just loves Jesus, and she gets so excited, right? That's the idea. And Christmas is the time that we joyfully celebrate the birth of Christ, Emmanuel. And, of course, we're going to do that on Christmas Eve at 7 p.m., and Christmas morning at 10 a.m., and so I have the times there, just a quick reminder on the screens. And so if you may not be able to make both of them, we'd love for you to hope that you can make either one of those. And we promise that both of those will be shorter than our normal services to give you time with your family and your friends this Christmas holiday. But we want to celebrate because it's a great time of year for the church. And we hope you can be a part of that. And we'd love for you to bring folks to be your guest as well, okay? So with that being said, when Mary pins these words, and I say pin, not necessarily that she wrote them, right? Luke writes this gospel and records this, and so it, somehow it got captured and remembered, and it gets put to paper. But this is often referred to as Mary's Magnificat, and that word Magnificat means to magnify. And so what you're reading when you look at Luke 1, 46 through 55 is Mary magnifying God, glorifying God for his mercy and his might. And if you stop and you look at that passage, you'll notice it's so beautifully written. In fact, it's, how many of you like to read poetry or enjoy poetry? In poetry, there's usually a some form of structure. Now, some of you are like, I don't like poetry at all. It's just, bleh. In poetry, there's typically a structure to that. And when you read poetry in the Bible, you'll find that that structure is there. And if you notice, when you look at the way she pins her glorification, right, this magnifying, she glorifies the might of God, and she glorifies the mercy of God. And then she flips over to the might of God and to the mercy of God. If you just look in your Bible and you just skim, you'll see that it's just so beautifully laid out. She's, God is so humble, and he's fed the poor, and he's brought down the prideful and the rich. You know, right? He's saved, and he's so merciful and saving, and wow, by his hand he has delivered. And there's this constant, God is so merciful, God is so mighty, and he is so good, and I glorify him. If you remember the story, though, when Mary glorifies the Lord, it's not because the Lord had made her life easier. Because at her moment in life, she is pregnant with the Son of God. So, she's not pregnant because of Joseph, but because of the Holy Spirit. Joseph finds out that she's pregnant. Can you imagine what that conversation could have potentially been like between those two? Probably not super peaceful. Like, there's conflict there. Well, then the community is going to find out, because you know how people are. People love to talk. So that word's going to get around. And I'm telling you what, people can do the math. And they'll know that when she got pregnant, she was not fully married to Joseph as of yet. And you know how people love to talk. They just do, right? And yet at the beginning of her Magnificat, right out of the gate, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord. I'm not looking at my circumstances. I'm looking at my Savior. And when I look at my Savior, in spite of my circumstances, I tell you, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And then as I said, when, you know, the song unfolds, she's, I'm going to tell you about the mercy of God. He's so merciful and he's so good. I'm going to tell you about the might of God. He's so strong and he's so powerful. And I just can't help but just tell you how good he is. He's had mercy on the humble, fed the hungry, faithful to his promises, going back to Abraham, the father of their faith. I mean, she's stretching generations back. And he's brought victory in their battles, worked miracles, brought down the arrogant and the proud, and preserved his people from being destroyed by evil. God's been so merciful and so mighty. And she sees herself in that category. That he's been merciful and mighty to her, and done a mighty thing in her. She says, oh, that how could I? that you would choose me to bring this gift, the Son of God, into the world. I don't, she says, this humble servant, she doesn't see herself as somebody that God would choose to do such a great act in the world. Oh, that you would choose me, Lord, that I would give birth to the long-awaited Messiah, this one who I know is going to be the greatest display of your mercy and might by saving your people from their sins, the same one who's going to conquer the grave, the same one who's going to reign on the throne of his Father's kingdom. Oh, Lord, really? In the fall of 2018, I was finishing up my Master of Divinity degree, and we had not come here yet. I was rushing, trying to get that done, working side jobs, didn't know what to do, didn't know what kind of job God had in store. I know if it was going to be ministry or it was going to be something else. I had no idea. I know I was stressing. I can do well at that. I don't know about any of you can do well in that, but I was stressing and trying to wait, but also trying to be, you know, be prudent. Like, you gotta step forward, take some action, right? And trust the Lord is going to, but, you know, and you just sit there, wait, and I'm waiting, and there just doesn't seem to be anything happening. It's a rough feeling when you realize that the bank account's getting low and you're already living on credit to some degree and you still got some bills to pay and you don't see where the next chapter is going to open up and you're just saying, Lord, I'm waiting. I'm a little anxious. Lord, maybe I'm a lot anxious, but I'm still waiting. And you know I trust you. And I was at that breaking point for me when guess what God did? God said, Andy, I know this church, and it's not very far from you. In fact, it's just on the other side of town. It's in Newburgh. And I want you to go there, and I want you to join with them, and I'm going to marry your ministries together, and they're going to be a great place for you and your family to not just rest, but to grow and to heal and to flourish. And I'm going to put you there because I know that you have a shape with, you know, gifts and a heart and abilities and the right personality with them and experiences, things that you've gone through that I've walked with you through and I've taught you and you have what I need you to bring to them for the season. I'm going to have you there, and you just need to trust me for that whole journey. I want to be the first one to tell you, I do not deserve to be here in this spot right now, pastoring you and preaching and teaching and walking with you as a leader here at New Hope. I don't deserve to be in this role. I don't. But I'm so glad that God saw that He could do something through us, our family here, and through you guys with our family, that over the years, we could see the kingdom grow in ways that we hadn't even imagined before. Right? God knew what He was doing. And I look back to what we've come through over the last... I've been about to finish up... Well, start of April will be the end of my fourth year here. And I love... It's gone by so fast. We've gone through a lot. Healing, COVID, building a whole new structure for church and just fighting the battles that were in front of us, and we've mourned and we've rejoiced, and we've said we're just going to have to keep trusting, and God's got it sand on us, and because we wouldn't be where we are if God wasn't engaged with us, right? And we've ministered to each other, we've helped each other, we've encouraged, we've prayed for each other, we've counseled each other, we've shared meals together, we've laughed together, we've cried together, we've just done life together. God has been so merciful. And what a great, powerful work he's done to bring us all together. He's so good. I've got that joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. That's enough. That's all right. All right. You get it. You get it. All right. All right. Because it's like it'll just stick in your head all day. Right? Okay. Yeah, yeah. That joy comes from God's Spirit within you, from God's Spirit working within you. I want us to remember that as we kind of journey through the rest of what I want to share with you this morning, that joy comes from God's Spirit in us, which is joyful because God is happy to save us from sin and death. When you said yes to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing what that cross means and what it represents for you, it brought God a tremendous amount of joy to save you, forgive your sins and save you from the price of death. Over just little old me. Yes, absolutely. It brought him joy. And that Spirit is still joyful in you now. It brought God joy, made him happy to transform your brokenness into wholeness. Take your broken pieces and to begin putting you together, if you will, and to bring healing and to create a new life with a new perspective of looking on the world. Not through the way you've seen it, but through the way God wants you to see it when you think of Christ in you. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God wants you to see yourself through that truth, through that lens. And it brings him joy to put us together. It brings God joy to keep perfecting us in his love as we trust in his Son Jesus. You may like where you're at today, but I can assure you, God has more. I appreciate the healing God has brought, but I can assure you that God has even more. I've learned so much from God, yes, and I can assure you, God has more for you to learn. I don't feel like life could get any sweeter than it is right now at this moment. Well, I can assure you, there is still even more. And it brings God joy to want to bring you more. For he is a good, good father. And it brings him joy to bless those who trust in him. And essentially that's what that's all about. Paul, the Apostle Paul, not our Paul here, in Romans 15:13, put it beautifully. Let me read to you, I have it on the screens as well. He said, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You know what I like? He just hit on every four of these candles in this Advent wreath. Joy, peace, hope, joy, love, and the other purple one. And where does that come from? It comes from Jesus Christ, the white candle in the center. I love it. Like, he's not even... Hey, what a Christmas wish. May the God of hope fill you with all these. Like, that's my wish for you. And that is joyful news. But maybe, let's just pause for a second. Just pause. Maybe that's not where you're at today, though. Maybe that's not your station in life, if you will, like the season you see yourself at. Maybe this has not been the perfect Christmas season for you. For some reason, you are anxious, you are stressed, you are fearful. You just feel like, I feel like my Christmas tree is leaning over, you know, just like one way really bad here, and that Christmas tree is your life. Or maybe life's throwing you a curveball, and you were not expecting that at all. Now, how do I handle that? Because I got all this stuff going in my life. Your faith and your patience are being tested to the nth degree, and you're about to lose your top. Can't take any more. I think I'm going to lose it. Even if you're not a parent, you can still get to that point. You're dealing with pain. You're dealing with sorrow. You want to be super happy and joyful, but you know, hey, when you get to Christmas, you start to remember, you start to think back on somebody that you miss, and your heart just hurts. And you see something, you hear a song, you smell a smell at Christmas, or you see somebody, and it just triggers that memory. And when you come to the Christmas season, you really don't get excited like everybody else, because you know you're going to grieve all over again. And that's really not something that you want to do. But can I say it's something you need to do? You need to continue to grieve, to allow your body to heal. Life has problems. Can I get an amen? Life has problems. And we don't get to typically control when they come our way. They just come. It's, you know, it's like that gift that keeps on giving the whole year. And I think this is why you can't trust in stuff, and you can't put your trust in people, circumstances to supply your joy. The things of the world are broken, and they're just not going to keep your joy burning brightly and fueled up. It can help, but you can't lay all your money down on that and say, well, that's my bet. You know, like, you're going to lose every time. So what if we asked the question and said, okay, well, then what might we do, look to help keep the flame of joy burning brightly in us? So if you can't look to yourself, and you can't look to other people, and you can't look to stuff, where can you look? Lord. We look to the Lord. What may help us do that? What may help us, like, throw some fire on that, right? I love the flamethrower. I was like, that is essential Christmas. Like, how? Just kidding, it's not, but I just like it. And so the first thing I want to share with us is I want to invite us to pray. And you go, well, I do pray. Great. Keep on praying, right? And I love there's a model that's in the New Testament that the Apostle Paul kind of, you can piece it together, right? You probably heard it before, but it goes by the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S. And I have that for you today. Just real quick, it's just to think about, you know, when you pray, adore God for being a mighty and merciful God. Glorify Him, right? Like Mary says, I glorify the Lord. Give Him adoration, for He is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor, the Scripture says, right? So make sure that you give Him that adoration. And I would say also, where you need to, confession. So bring in the, Lord, I missed the mark here, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I missed it. And I realize it. Lord, if there's ways that I have missed the mark with you and I don't recognize that, would you help me to understand that? Would you reveal that to me? Would you convict me in sin so that I will know, that I can be aware? Lord, I need your mercy. Seek His mercy through confession. The T is thanksgiving, not for turkey, but giving thanks to God for His mighty works in our lives. Think back to the things. What has God done in the past? In the beginning, God did what? Created. And then you walk through the story. You go, oh my goodness, all these great things that God has done. Thank you, God, for what you've done. Right? And above all, I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for the cross. I want to thank you for the empty tomb. I just want to say thank you, Lord. You're so good. And I love this one. Supplication, that's a fun word for Sunday morning. Asking God to supply your needs, to mercifully supply your needs. Did you notice that even in this Acts format, there's mercy and there's might. right? It mercy and might, this pattern. I love it. Second one, singing. What? Yes, singing. Well, I don't like to sing around anybody. Singing is not fun. No, it is fun. Maybe you sing by yourself. Well, I don't even know what to sing. Sing about the mercy and the might of God. There's a song that is came out, it's probably been a few years ago, I guess by now. It was called Reckless Love. It was written by Corey Asbury. And that song stirred up some conflict in churches and theologians and pastors and all that kind of stuff. Because they was, you know, about the reckless, like, God's love's not reckless, you know. And so, anyways, but the bridge in that song, there's lyrics with the bridge, and it says, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down, coming after me. I love that song. It's all about the mercy of God and the power of God. That, look, there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing. There's no sin in your life that God cannot forgive. As long as you're still breathing, I'm telling you, if you repent, there is forgiveness. It's there. God has the power to overcome anything because He's God. We're celebrating God this Christmas. We're giving thanks to God for all His wonderful acts. Do you like how I brought that first one down? It's gold. I know. It's really good. And then reciting scripture is another thing that we can add in. Even if you're not good at memorizing scripture, can I encourage you to try to do it anyway? You say, all I can do is just kind of get the gist of it. That's okay. Keep doing and doing and doing. There's Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is one that I really appreciate. It says, but God demonstrated His love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God had mercy on us, that while we were still sinners. And the power of God is that He went to the cross and He died for us so that our sins could be forgiven. The mercy and the might of God, scripture that you can hold in here and you can just repeat it. Put it on a note card, on a post-it, something so that you've got that at your disposal, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. I don't feel like rejoicing, but your word says rejoice in the Lord always. But God, my heart is hurting. But your word says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Lord, I'm so mad at what they've done to me. But Lord, I know your word says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm about to just rip into them for what they've just done. But I know, Lord, your word says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Lord, by your word, help me. And He will help you. Because the Lord is happy to help you. He loves it. He loves helping you. It brings Him joy. Well, I'm not worthy of that. Maybe not, but He still brings Him joy to help you. Oh, that you would be mindful of us. Oh, it brings Him joy to be mindful of you. Always. And then here's a fun one, reflection. We have to slow down enough to do this, though, and that's kind of the crazy thing. And I think we have to, and I can be guilty of this too, we have to put our phones down and stop killing time on our cell phones that we could actually stop, unplug, and reflect on our own stories to think, God, what have you done in my life? Where have I experienced you be merciful? And right now you may go, I'm not sure like what that would be. Reflect on it. Lord, where have you worked powerfully in my life? Stop and think about it. Where might you have already experienced the mercy of God and the might of God? And you ought to go to your salvation, but I want to encourage you, think, stretch beyond that. Because I promise you, God's been working in your life way more than just your salvation. Hadn't he? He does good stuff, doesn't he? Sometimes it's physical. Sometimes it's emotional. Sometimes it's relational. It's intellectual. Lord, I never realized that about you until today when I read that in the scripture, or I thought that thought, or I saw that and I put two and two together. Lord, thank you for what you just taught me. Let me tell you what I learned today. I was reading scripture, and I tell you what, I just feel like I'm so smart now that I figured this out. Don't be like that. Let me tell you what the Lord taught me today. There you go. I wasn't worthy of learning this, but the Lord saw fit to teach me this today. And I'm so grateful. Then gathering. That's the fourth one I give you today. Gathering with other Christians. Like today, Sunday service, right? Come together, celebrate God together. That's why we do this. But also small groups. When you can be a part of a small group. Do that. You can gather. Also serve and share opportunities. We're going to Transcendent Healthcare North today in Boonville, right? 2:00, be here. We're going to get ready. We're going to go over there. We're going to minister there, share the gospel and song, and then come back. We're going to share a meal together. It's going to be great. Come on, be here. Be lots of fun. We can gather with others. It helps to breathe like fire onto our joy, right? It kind of excites us. That's God doing that. That's God. Feel your joy by leaning into God through prayer. Leaning in through singing, even if it's just in the car or the shower. Reciting scripture, even if you just get the gist of it, but you know what it means. Learn it. Hold on to it. Lean into thinking back to your stories. How's God been merciful and mighty in me, in my life? What am I still waiting for Him to do? Ooh. What might He do? What might God do in me and through me still yet? Spend time reflecting on that stuff, right? That gets me excited. Like, God, what might you do in me that I hadn't even thought about? Where might you take me in ministry that I hadn't even ever dreamed of yet? Who might I meet that you're going to partner together and we're going to do great work for the kingdom? I don't know. Lord, what have I yet to experience with the wonderful elders and leaders in our church that we hadn't even thought of yet? Oh, that's pretty cool. That's kind of exciting. Sky's the limit, right? God's a God of abundance. I think He could do some amazing stuff still even yet. The story's not done. Even if you feel like your story is almost done and you say, I'm tired and I don't want to do anything more, I've done enough, it's time to let the young ones do everything else. I hear you. But I want to ask you a question. Is the power of God in you? Is the Spirit of God upon you? Are you still breathing? Has He called you home yet? Nope. That must mean He's not done with you yet. The question we ought to more correctly ask ourselves is, how does He desire to use me at this season of my life? What does He want to do? And that may be different than what it used to be. And it more than likely will be. And it probably should be. what might he want to do, even yet? What might he want to do through my kids, even yet? I don't know. Trust the Lord. Just lean into him. I promise you, he'll like a flamethrower. Wouldn't that be fun to have one of those today? Not really, but that candle was enough extra flame as I was watching that thing burn today, and it's smoking, it's rising up. I'm like, are we doing a fragrant offering today or something? Like, are we back in the temple? And I didn't know, whatever. So where are you finding joy is my question this morning. Where are you finding joy? Where are you looking? There's all sorts of places you can look. Some promise immediate, some promise longer term. The only one that can guarantee it is Christ. Look to Emmanuel, for he is God's joy with us. And let him feel the joy in your heart as you walk with him this Christmas. Amen.